add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
McMonagle here with you. Just talking with Fliegelman about the Rosarena trade. We both agree that we're surprised on the level of the lack of level of prospects that the usually very shrewd. So, I mean, I can't kill it because they've had such a track record of making good deals that I don't want to, you know, jump to conclusions, but it just seems like light. And to do it now, to have a Rosarena as a value, to just, you know, if you haven't heard, a Rosarena, Tampa Bay traded to the Seattle Mariners, just, I don't know. It just seems like a light deal. Now, again, you could look at it two different ways. I'm focused on the Yankees. I always have been. I've been arguing about just the Yankees the whole season, even when they were good. And everybody complained, oh, they lost to the Orioles. They can't beat good teams. I always thought it was stupid. I'm not concerned about anybody else but the New York Yankees right now. The only reason I bring up the Orioles is because it's in about their struggles. It's only because of the standings. Not to say that the Orioles, the Yankees, will have no problem beating the Orioles because they're struggling, or they'll have no problem, you know, they match up great against the Orioles. It's not about that necessarily. It's more of just, hey, they've stayed in it because the Orioles have struggled, so they're still right there in the mix. Not that, and that the Orioles aren't that great, but it's not like, oh, the Yankees should have no problem with the Orioles. They've struggled. That's not how I mean it. It's just they've played so poorly that they've kept the Yankees around. If you would have told me the Yankees would have played this poorly, I would have expected the Orioles to have a 5-6-7 game lead in the division, not two. But for me, now looking at it, so like I don't concern myself with how good the Mariners are going to be now with the addition of Rosarena. I on some level, I understand that. If that's your thought process, just looking at it from a Yankee standpoint, where like, hey, they just got a Rosarena. He kills the Yankees. They're going to play the Yankees at the end of the year. I think it's like the second to last week of the season in September. The Yankees have a West Coast run. They got to go to Seattle. So yeah, while they're battling with Seattle for the wild card, Seattle's battling Houston for the division. A pretty good team with good pitching just got better. I do understand that angle of it, but I still, in my narrow-minded, how do the Yankees fix themselves? I'm going to take it as a little bit of a positive because the Mariners are one of these teams in on all of these offensive players. And not that they just, you know, shot their load on a Rosarena, because I got to be honest with you, I don't know. It's not a great return, so they still probably have prospects to still go get Jonathan India, go get Paredes, or go get, although you would think if they were going to trade with the Rays, they would have done a package deal. But they still have the option to go get out, but now the urgency isn't necessarily there to trade more prospects for offense, and I don't think a Rosarena was a target of the Yankees anyway. So as far as the Yankees bettering themselves at the deadline, I do view this as a little bit of a positive, because this it helps eliminate the Mariners from contention on all the guys the Yankees are in on. But I can't ignore the idea that a team the Yankees are competing with just got better. So it's a little bit of both. But I'm so narrowly focused on the Yankees improving that I'm not really concerned about other teams improving just yet. I'm more concerned about how the Yankees improve and what helps the Yankees improve. And right now, a Rosarena going to the Mariners, in I can make a case, helps the Yankees improve. It just makes it tougher to actually win once they have improved. 306-888-808-1019. Let's get to the phone calls here. 3 o'clock. We're 2 hours left in our five-hour midnight ride to the warm-up show. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Yeah, how's it going, C-Mac?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Oh, man. I wish I was doing better, but this Yankee team's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
I am convinced this team is cursed. This franchise has been cursed now, because everything this team has been doing, all the moves over the past few years, just turns out bad. no matter if it's a trade or a free agent signing or calling out prospects, everything this team touches just turns bad. You know, those prospects we've called up over the years, Debbie Garcia, Fraser, Andujar, Greg Bird, you know, Sanchez, all of them just turn out bad. Now we're seeing Torres turn that way.
Yep.
You know, we go out and sign Ellsbury. There is, we go out and there sign Lodon. Bad deals.
You did leave out Judge, the best hitter in all of baseball. But you're right. Most of them have been really bad. I mean, it's not like Judge. Like, I just want to say, because people throw it out there. Well, yeah, okay, Judge. Judge didn't happen
one.
To just
There's
hit.
One
I know, but
you know?
The one is the one in all of Major League Baseball. Like, it's not just like, oh, yeah, he hit. He's pretty good. He's an all-star from every other. No, he's the best hitter in the game. So, I mean, it is a significant hit. But you're right. No doubt. Everything you said is correct.
But besides Judge, like even the trades, like, I just realized we still have Lou Trevino and Scott Efros.
Efros.
These are two guys we traded for 2 years ago who both didn't even play at all last year and both still haven't even played this year.
They had significant injuries.
So what are the odds of trading for two relievers on the same trade deadline that don't pitch for a year and a half? It's like there's got to be some curse. And you know what? when there's a curse, I want one person to fix it. I want to clean house.
Uh-huh.
And I want one person to fix this curse.
Please don't say it. Please don't say it. Please don't say it. I know what you're going to say. Please don't say it. Please don't say it.
What's the first initial?
Please don't say it. Please don't say Derek Jeter.
Theo Epstein.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. I feel better about it. I thought you were going to say
Give
Derek.
Give him the
I thought
blank
you were
going to
say
check.
Derek Jeter. Okay.
No. Theo Epstein.
Yeah.
He fixed Boston's curse. He fixed the Cubs' curse.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's a good point. I didn't even see that coming.
We're
How'd
cursed.
I miss the curse thing? Yeah.
We're cursed.
Well, listen, they're not cursed. I mean, again, cursed. Teams that are cursed, you know, I don't want to get into this Yankee defense that's going to get me in trouble, but we talk about, like, you know, they won 99 games and played in the ALCS 2 years ago, and we talk about it like it's the worst year ever. That's the worst year. They're not cursed. Brian Cashman's made bad. I think Brian Cashman from 2000, and this is, again, we keep talking about Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman, from 2016, when he was finally allowed to sell and break it down, from 2016 to 2021, despite never winning a championship, and before 21, so 20, through 2020, because that's a short year, really 16, 17, 18, 19. Those years, I thought Brian Cashman, and still do, did an incredible job. It's arguably the best time period of his career. Barring the championships of the early 90s, where, he was a part of it. You dopes. He was brilliant. Almost everything he did was right. The Didi Gregorius trade was a massive home run. You know, drafting and developing Judge, and at the time, the baby bombers, Sanchez was a two-time All-Star. Gleyber Torres is a two-time All-Star. Greg Bird hit big home runs in the postseason. He turned that thing around there in Game 7 of the LCS the next year. He made a lot of great moves. The patchworking he did in 2019 when they lost everybody. Mike Tauchman, Cameron Maybin, Gio Urshela for $35,000. Luke Voit, who had a 900 OPS for the New York Yankees. He did a great job for a couple years. Since then, it's been bad. Since then, which is all we care about, totally on board. Since then, it's been brutal. And there's been a handful of good ones. Wandy Peralta for Mike Tauchman's a good trade. I know we don't love Clay Holmes, but Clay Holmes for a second base prospect that nobody ever remembers to Pittsburgh is a great trade. Obviously signing Gerrit Cole is a great signing, but for the most part, the trade deadline of 22 was a disaster. 2021 was a really ugly year. And while Rizzo turned out to be a fairly good one, Gallo was a disaster. And then since, you know, last year was just a horrendous season where he didn't fix any of the problems. And now he's going to have this deadline. But I think he's entitled the year, but he's got to do it this year. And Theo Epstein, sure, one of the great executives in baseball history, sure, no doubt. And if Brian Cashman's fired, Theo Epstein would be a great hire. I'm totally on board with Theo Epstein, sure. But Theo Epstein, I know he's won championships and broken curses, which is massive and good enough to have a Hall of Fame resume. But, you know, when he left the Red Sox, they were in terrible. It took a while to get them back. When he left the Red Sox, they were bad. When he left the Cubs in a miserable situation. He's like Pete Carroll leaving USC. He leaves in miserable situations. He didn't have to have the sustained. He didn't have to stick with the Cubs and turn them around. He didn't have to stick with the Cubs and try and fix it. He won the championship, hemorrhaged everything, and then they were terrible and had to trade everybody away after he left. But that's just part and parcel of what happens. Dombrowski with Philadelphia is kind of the same way. Comes in, spends a ton of money, leaves before it gets really ugly. But those are great GMs, and they've won championships. And Theo Epstein's broken the curse. Totally would love to have Theo as the next executive of the New York Yankees. And depending on what happens here with Brian Cashman, I think it's time to move on. I said it last year. Everyone calls me this big Cashman shill. No one remembers in the offseason. I said it's probably best to move on. I didn't think they had to. I don't think Brian Cashman's incapable of doing the job. But it's been bad enough of a stretch. They haven't won long enough. And sometimes it just gets stale and it hasn't worked in the last couple of years. And the fan base despises them. Maybe it was time to move on. I would have moved on last year. I said that. And if they don't make the playoffs this year, I'll be screaming for it. Be right there with you. I'll get right there in line with you. Screaming for Brian Cashman to be fired. And Aaron Boone, clearly. Certainly if they don't make the playoffs. If they lose in the first round, I'll be right there with you. But he's got this trade deadline. Let's see what he does. Mark in Long Island. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, hey, C-Mac, how's it going?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, I got a crazy thing, and I'm a Mets fan looking in on the Yankees right now, yeah?
Yeah.
I need all the Yankee fans to finally stop crying about everything. It's not lasting forever, let me tell you. Listen, I'm a Mets fan. I see what's happening. The Yankees are going through the same stretch Mets went through in the beginning of the year. They're going to come back September's time. They're going to get hot as anything. They're going to get hot.
Your lips to God's ears. I hope so.
It's 2:14, July 26th, yeah? Mark from Long Island saying Mets-Yankees World Series.
Let's do it. Mets-Yankees World Series. I'm in on it right now. Sign me up. Listen, I expect them to play better. This is a playoff team. The Yankees are going to the playoffs. The Mets are going to the playoffs. But this Yankee team in particular, as bad as they've been right now, they're going to the playoffs. I don't know how they're going to do in the playoffs, but they're going to go to the playoffs. Jeff in Fairview. What's up, Jeff?
I don't know about that with the Yankees starting pitching, man.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. I mean, they've still got Cole. He had a bad start last time. He had two good ones before it. He's still the Cy Young Award winner from last year. We've seen Luis Gil kind of with his new grip on his new slider. He's been much better. He gave up one run in five innings against the Mets last time. I think they might add a starting pitcher, but good.
Can that guy go pitch a full season though? His arm. I mean, he had a lot of guys on base. We didn't come through with a big hit against him in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But can he do a full season? That's he's good, but can he do the full season? And Torres, Carlos, the lefty, he's not good.
Carlos Rodon.
No,
he's not. Oh, Nestor Cortez.
Nestor Cortez might
be traded. Nestor Cortez might be traded.
Yeah, he's.
They've got Clark Schmidt coming back. They might add a back end of the bullpen relieving guy. But when they don't win, it's because of hitting. They've got enough of a lead in this. Yeah. They're going to go to the playoffs. I'm willing to put my stake on it. I also said the Mets were done. So who knows? I could clearly be wrong.
Now, Toronto. If they trade Guerrero to a division rival, it's like suicide to their organization and fans. It's not happened. I don't care what you give them. If I'm a fan, I'm protesting if I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. This guy's a borderline Hall of Famer. I know he's too young. Can't even talk about that right now.
Borderline is being
25 years old.
Yeah, I know, but a borderline. He's had one Hall of Fame season.
Well, he's having a good year this year. He's walked it up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's having a pretty good year. He's got an 854 OPS. It's a very nice year. It's not like a Hall of Fame year. He's had one real Hall of Fame season. In 21, he hit 48 home runs. He hit .311. He led the league in OPS, slugging, total bases, OPS plus. He had a monster year. He finished second in the MVP. He hasn't had another top 10 MVP season in his career. 32-97, 26-94. Those aren't bad. 274, 264, 8-8. He's only got, you know, he had in 22, he had an 800 OPS. He's got an 850 OPS now. Borderline Hall of Famer is probably accurate, but on the lower end of it.
All right. Francisco Lindor.
Yes.
This guy's playing like he's in Cleveland. Playing great.
This is the best stretch he's played in a Mets uniform. There's no doubt. That home run yesterday is a massive home run. It's an enormous win. He embarrassed the Yankees the day before. Him getting moved to the leadoff spot has been the catalyst for this team. It's been crazy. He's playing like an MVP. He's thrusted himself into the MVP conversation. There's no doubt.
Oh yeah, and they have, you know, every given night lately. You know, it's Taylor. It's someone that is just, that's a good team when you have different guys. You know, producing, having good games, and look at McNeil now. All of a sudden, you know, he's playing.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That's why I talk about it being special. It feels special with all this stuff. It feels special that Iglesias comes up and has the best year of his career. It feels special that Bader's had the best year of his career. Like all these guys, Taylor, Bader, Iglesias, Vientos, like. All of them to have such an enormous positive, and most of those, I know Vientos, it's a brief career, but I mean, all of those guys are having the best seasons of their career and far better than any expectation for them when the season started. It's just, it's been crazy. And that's why I want to go out and really, add to this team. I don't want to mess around. I believe that they're good enough. I've seen enough special things where I'm open. I know me and Fliegelman just talked about it. He's totally against me. He does not, as a Met fan, wants no interest in trading away major prospects for pitching. Has no interest in it. I disagree. I want to bolster this team and go out and try and win right now. Things change. Expectations change. Opportunities change. The opportunity the Mets have right now is different than what we thought a month ago. I know you want to win long term, but this might be your best chance to win. Who knows? Dan in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Lacey, Mac, good morning.
What's up? How are you?
Good. Got a couple names for you, but first, I agree with you. I thought the Arozarena trade, the return on that was a little light.
Seems light.
It is the Rays, so they'll probably be all-stars by next year. It is the Rays.
Yep.
Couple names for you. I broke it up into three categories, starting pitching, relief, and outfielding. That's the three, you know, main target areas that the Mets need to capitalize on at the deadline.
Okay.
For starting pitchers, I had Eric Fetty. And possibly bringing back Chris Bassett if the Blue Jays are in full sell mode. He's got 2 years left after this year, but the guy just goes out there and pitches every single day, every start he makes. So relief pitchers, I got Ursegg from Oakland. He's a setup guy for Mason Miller. He's having a good year.
Yeah.
I found out he was actually drafted by David Stearns in Milwaukee. Drew Smyly and Carlos Estevez. Smiley's obviously on the Cubs, and then Estevez on the A's. They're going to be selling. And then for outfielders, I had Jesse Winker, Tommy Pham, Mark Hanna, so bringing back either Hanna or Pham to the Mets.
Right.
And then maybe even if the Cubs are interested in selling, they're going full sell mode, Bellinger.
Yeah, I mean, did he get the one-year deal or he got a short three-year deal? What was Bellinger's contract?
I think he got a three deal, but I think there's a opt out on it and he might opt out. I think he's $27.5 million.
He's making $27.5 million. It's $27.5 million next year as well, and then $25 million in 26. I'm trying to see if there's a notification of an opt out in there. 3 year deal. And an average salary, Bellinger carrying. No, I don't see. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Player opt out after this year.
Yeah, so I don't know if he would opt out. But I think he makes sense for the roster.
The way he's playing now, I don't know if he would the season he's having. I agree with everything. The only thing I would take note, I think the names you have for outfield, which would be minor help, I agree with. Your bullpen, I agree with. I don't think Bellinger's a realistic option for them. I agree with the other names that you said are candidates. I don't even know if they do that. The one thing I'll disagree with you in, and not that Bassett's not a good pitcher, but if I'm going to trade prospects for a starting pitcher, they have some depth here. Like Severino's been really good. Manaea Quintana, you know, Peterson's actually pitched well. I know McGill's not much, but I mean, they're hopeful Scott might not miss the entire season. You have some options. I don't want to trade prospects for a average starting pitcher. If I'm going to go starting pitcher, I'm just going to go all in and look for an ace that dramatically changes my chances to win in the playoffs. That's what I would do. I understand.
Yeah, I understand that. I think Bassett's a little better than above. I put him at above average Bassett.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But, he is.
And if Toronto is going to, they're going to, you know, completely rebuild, which it seems like they should, they probably should, you know?
Yes, I agree.
He still owed like $63 million over 2 years. It's a lot of money for a team that's going to be rebuilding.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how much it would cost you. And, you know, cash is king and Cohen has the most of it. So,
right.
If Toronto doesn't have to pay any of that down, then the prospects going back to Toronto aren't going to be that much.
That's totally true. That's totally true. You also have a bad taste in your mouth the last time you pitched for the Mets. He was brutal in the Atlanta series. He was brutal in the playoffs. He is an above-average starting pitcher. You would have to eat a lot of money. Like that's the he got paid off a good year with the Mets. I don't know. I'm not opposed to it. For me, I'm looking to dramatically impact the rotation if I'm going to touch the rotation, especially one of these top aces who are under control and young. I just think that's the way to go. I'm willing to trade. I mean, that's what you have prospects for. Part of the prospects is to build the organization. Part of the prospects is to make good trades. And if you can make a trade for a young, controllable, ace-like pitcher, and you get him now for a playoff run, which is clearly coming, and an opportunity to beat a consistently underachieving playoff team in the Dodgers, a team in Philadelphia who went to the World Series 2 years ago and blew a 3-1 lead to Arizona last year, who has been the best team in baseball consistently all year, but unbeatable. With this Met lineup and a rotation that would have, like, say, Skubal, Severino, and Senga, seems like a worthy opportunity to me.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:31, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Get on up. So I'm reading this story, I don't know why, you know, I'm reading these odd stories, whatever, it's 3:30 in the morning, I've been on for 3.5 hours, and I was reading this story because I don't want to say the establishment, but I was interested in going to a place for wings. And we know inflation and prices, whatever. And if I remember, you know, oddly enough, I remember there was a time when Carton Craig made a big deal out of the skyrocketing prices of chicken wings. And it was a problem. And chicken wings, because of COVID, and I guess, you know, they weren't dealing with chickens as much. I don't know. It was something about COVID. I forget. Like, the factories were closed, so less chickens were slaughtered. I don't know. Whatever. But the price for chicken wings for a brief time went up. It's come back down at some point, gone back up, I don't know. But with inflation, everything's expensive. But I was looking to get wings the other day, and I called a place. And on the menu, it said $15.99 for an order of wings, which is expensive, but okay. It's kind of around.
How many wings?
You hit the crux of my discussion. So I was curious. That's the first question I said. I'm in. I, you know, listen, if I get a dozen wings for $15.99, it's still a lot of money, but okay. I called and I found out that it is eight. Eight wings for $15.99.
Are we going to name the establishment?
No, we're not going.
Okay.
Eight wings. So obviously I said I can't do that. Can't do eight wings for $16, $2 a wing. Can't do it. Can't do it. So I saw the story on Ohio Supreme Court. This is the headline. Ohio Supreme Court changes legal definition of boneless wings in a slap is a slap to the face.
I saw this.
To common sense. So I thought I wasn't sure what it was going to be, but I literally just had wings on my mind because it was like 2 days ago. I was craving wings and it was just ridiculous that I thought the price. So I'm thinking, oh, maybe there's an issue with chicken wings again. But pretty much what happened was, is there's a guy in Ohio who ordered chicken wings, boneless chicken wings. He ate the chicken wing without any, he ate the boneless wing without any hesitation. And there was a chunk of bone in the boneless wing. And it got stuck in his throat to the point he needed multiple surgeries to fix it. So he sued the company where he got the boneless wings, saying, I ordered boneless wings, got a bone lodged in my throat, caused surgeries, blah, blah, blah. And their argument back was that bone is part of the natural order of just chicken or meat, and that people should be expected on some level to, even on boneless labeled chicken, to possibly incur and be prepared for some level of bone.
This is annoying me because I'm a big chicken wings enthusiast.
Right.
And boneless wings are just chicken nuggets.
Well, that's what, not only that. Like, yeah, sometimes they bread them. I went to a place that used to cook them just like it wasn't breaded. It was in sauce. They were good. But even then, you're right. They're not really wings. And that's kind of what I thought this article was going to say. Like legal definition of boneless wings. So I'm like, okay, they're going to somehow it got to, that's why I thought it was funny. I went to click on the article saying the Supreme Court in Ohio is ruling on whether you can call it a chicken wing or not. Whether a boneless wing should be called a boneless wing. Is there such a thing? That's what I thought I was going to read, like this fun loving story. Little I know this guy's going to get a bone caught in his throat and need multiple surgeries. But anyway, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled in favor of the establishment. That bone is something that you must, on some level, understand is a possibility, and you shouldn't be shoving these things down 3-4 at a time without any fear of catching a bone. So be careful out there, because if you eat chicken in any way, shape, now there's a precedent. You might sue, and the lawyer will step into the room and go, I'm citing the Ohio State Supreme Court case of 2024 where bone is chicken, and chicken is bone. So be careful out there. If you're going to eat any chicken, if you choke on a bone, it's your fault. They could label it boneless. They can call it whatever you want, whatever they want to call it. You should be expected to be mindful of chicken bones, no matter what kind of chicken you're eating. So just beware. That's what Ohio is telling us. Something is called boneless. It can have bones in it. Be prepared. Which I get that common sense. I do. Like, on some level of common sense, you should be aware that they might mess up.
Yeah.
But
I'm still not over the price of the...
Well, I know. It's crazy.
Like, I just looked up the place where I get wings.
Yeah.
I think... I'm pretty sure it's 10, and it's $11.
Yeah, no, that's much better than what I was...
Yeah.
Now, again, to be fair, I did not go to I did not look at a place that specializes in wings. They right. have it on the menu, but it's not a wing joint. It's not Buffalo Wild Wings. It's not Wingstop. It's not even like, I don't want to get into it. It's not even like a sports bar that would do a ton of wings.
Sure.
But it's a place that I know of that had wings, and it was ridiculous. And that made me more interested in this story than I might normally have been. But yeah, the price of chicken wings, that's absurd. Eight wings for, I think, now that I'm saying it in my mind, I think it was $14.99, but still $15 for eight wings? Well, we can do an order of four. I'm like, what are you charging me for that? $13? No, thanks. What am I going to do with four wings? Honestly. I mean, who would even say that? We could do 8 or 4. And that's exactly what I was told. I said, how many wings come in the order? Well, we could do 8 or 4. I'm like, okay, so 8 is your large order, yes. So the pricing on the menu is for the order of 8 wings, yes. Okay. So do you want an order? No, I do not. I'm going to be calling someone else. And instead, I just went home and had my normal, my current diet where I'm sort of on like a pseudo carnivore. Not really, but pretty much my typical, I've been eating a lot of just like, you know, chopped meat and eggs. It's kind of my deal right now. And it's been working for a little bit, but we'll see. I'll put it all back when I go to Disney because no one cares about what they eat on vacation. You know, that's how it works. You go to Disney, you think, oh, you know what? No matter what I eat, I'm going to lose weight. I'm walking around these parks. It's 1,000 degrees. I'm sweating everywhere. My socks are drenched at the end of the day. It's embarrassing. There's no way. I walked 10 miles and I sweated my ass off. There's no way I put on weight. Well, you had about 1,000 donuts for breakfast. Everywhere you went, you had, you know, that's what the problem is. Although donuts really aren't my problem. It's regular meals. 888-808-1019. So we've been talking a lot about fixing the Yankees. Obviously, the Mets last night of the story. We'll get to them again at 4 o'clock when we revisit our main topic. If you want to go back, you don't want to hear this now. You want to go back and listen to this, the open of my show when I was praising the Mets and their victory and how we should reevaluate how we attack the trade deadline. If you're the New York Mets, that's how good they've been. It's how good Lindor has been, how good McNeil has been, how good Severino has been. And a miraculous victory against the fading Atlanta Braves after kicking the tail out of the fading New York Yankees. Two teams that have historically kicked the crap out of the Mets are getting the other end of that stick right now. And the Mets have a miraculous win. Let's be fair. That's nothing wrong. I got a bunch of people mad at me. Are you calling it lucky? It was lucky. The guy overran. How many times have you seen that? How many times have you seen a ball in right field that's completely overrun by the fielder to end the game? But luck is the residue of design. And you make your own luck. And the Mets are playing that kind of game where they're just someone is protecting them from up on high. That's good to have. And when you do have it, you embrace it and you go chase it and give this team a chance to win at its highest level. So if you want to hear that conversation that I just had again in mini version, you can go back on the Odyssey app and go back and check it at midnight I was on. So go back to 12 a.m., listen to me and rewind, and you can hear that open, and we'll revisit it again at 4 o'clock. But I just wanted to talk about the prevailing thought that I had before everybody else did. I've changed my mind on what the Yankees should do with their lousy order. And we're going to see what the order looks like once the trade deadline is established. But they said it on the broadcast on ESPN, and I said it 2 or 3 days before. I think the idea that the Yankees need a leadoff hitter is so overblown. The Yankees do not need a prototypical leadoff hitter. They're becoming less and less throughout baseball. Who's been the best team all year? The Phillies. Who's their leadoff hitter? Kyle Schwarber. He can barely move. You don't need a fast, prototypical, punch and Judy, speedy leadoff hitter. You don't. If you have it, great. You don't need it. And we'll see. Maybe some of the moves they make at the deadline is for a type of player like that. Like if they get Jonathan India, I could see him hitting leadoff. Great. But right now with this team, he led off for a lot of the time that he was hitting 62 home runs. Aaron Judge should absolutely be the leadoff hitter. They should do it tonight. Judge, Soto, forget everything else. I want Judge with as much protection as possible. That's the only way to protect him. And I want them up as much as anybody else. There is not another soul on that roster who deserves more at-bats than Soto and Judge. I am streamlining my thought process down to simply, I need both of them up as much as possible. And I don't want anybody, be it Gleyber Torres, be it Anthony Volpe, be it Verdugo, be it, I mean, those are the options. Ben Rice? No. No, no, no. And I wouldn't even mind, I even forget the protection, put Soto up first. I don't care. It sounds like the Yankees would be more open to Judge leading off. I've been a proponent for Judge Soto hitting leadoff. a kind of a get-me-right spot at second, whoever I wanted to get hot, whether it be Glaber or Verdugo, whoever I want to get fastballs and trying to get going, number two, and then obviously the protection for that person, Judge. I wanted that sandwich. Soto lead off, Judge third, someone in the middle who I'm trying to get hot. I'm past that because I don't know if any of them can get hot. I don't know if any of them will see fastballs. They'll walk two hitters to get to five, to get to four, five, six. Why not? They'll still throw breaking balls at the guy. It doesn't matter. I don't know what to do anymore. And so that's why I'm streamlining my thought process to simply Judge and Soto need more at-bats than everybody else. Put Judge leadoff. It does protect him the most. It puts Soto behind him. It also just starts an inning. Nobody wants to walk the leadoff man of the game. It gives him at least that at-bat where you figure they're not going to walk him in any scenario, no matter who's hitting second. You don't want to walk the leadoff man, I wouldn't think. And it's the only way. I don't know what other, with the current roster, if Stanton is not going to be put into this lineup tonight against Boston, the only lineup that makes any freaking sense is Judge Soto. And then I don't care who you put next. Ben Rice third, Wells third, Torres third, Verdugo third. It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter. But Eduardo Perez said it during the game. He's 100% right. When Betts went down, they moved Ohtani to leadoff. I need my best hitter getting as many at-bats as possible, and nobody else deserves to get more. 888-808-1019. So we'll see if that miserable manager, Aaron Boone of the New York Yankees, has any plans to help this miserable lineup and see if he does anything other than put Judge at leadoff, because that's what I would do. And especially you got Bello going tonight. He's 10-5 with a 5.27 ERA. You got Nestor Cortez, who's got a 3.99 ERA, but is awful on the road. I have no expectations for this game. I have no expectations for this series. I don't have any expectations until Stanton comes back at the bare minimum, and then they're going to have to make moves at the deadline. I'd be shocked if they win this series. Terry in Armenia. What's up, Terry? Hello, Terry.
Hello.
There you are.
How are you?
There you are. I was wondering, were you going to call me the great one, or are you just going to hang up?
Yeah. How are you, great one?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm holding on. You know, I have serious balance issues. I had a stroke. Been up front.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, are you okay? How are you doing?
I'm holding on.
Good.
Better over the hill than under it, kid.
Good. Well, best of luck to you. Hang in there.
Thank you. Now, I heard what you were saying about chicken wings.
Yes.
I've been in the restaurant business twice.
Okay.
Okay. My experience is the problem is not the cost of the food. It's not the cost of the cooks and the support staff, the waiters and so forth and so on. It's the landlord. And right. I should think that your father-in-law would have some insight into that.
Yes. He would.
And after all, he was in the business.
Yeah, for me.
So he would know. He would know. But when you made that observation, I said, oh, boy, I wonder who the landlord is and how much that restaurant is paying for rent.
Right. I mean, listen, that's very possible, Terry. I've been there before, and I don't think all of the prices are outrageous. I don't even remember the wings being that price, so that's possible. Maybe the rent was raised, but it just seemed like, looking at the menu, the wings jumped off the page to me of how expensive they were, and especially when I was told they were eight. Because you see the number, and then you want to find out how many wings, because there really is no uniform number of wing orders. Like, you say, I'll have an order of wings, and have them, and you come. Like, you don't know. It's like, you know, French fries. I'll get an order of French fries. They however many come. But with wings, I wanted to find out. I'm trying to find out what kind of meal I'm getting for that much money. How many wings am I getting? And I was told eight. Somewhere else. I don't need this. And I don't remember the menu pieces all being that expensive. So it could be the landlord. It could be the chicken. It could be the restaurant. It could be any. It could have been on anything. But I only mentioned the price of the wings because there was a couple years ago. And then same thing with eggs. If you remember, about a year ago now, eggs were a crazy price. they've come back down a little bit too. But eggs, I mean, everything's expensive. You go to the store, I don't have to tell you. You go shopping, especially for kids and stuff. You go shopping, you walk out with four bags. It's $250, $300. It's crazy. Especially if you want to buy like good things. If you want to buy name brand things. My whole house is full of Bowl and Basket. You know. If you shop right, people, you know. My whole house is filled with Bowl and Basket. That's it. I'm a Bowl and Basket guy.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Quicker than your average. McMonagle here with you. 353. Looking at other, Aaron Rodgers throws bomb to Garrett Wilson on first play of practice. Jet fans are excited. Sure. Why wouldn't you be? And obviously a lot of talk about that is maybe, you know, the news has kind of quieted down to Devontae Adams possibly being traded. And we get into camp. And again, I don't even know how I feel about it because of that connection right there. I want Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers to develop. I believe what Aaron Rodgers believes. And if you heard him talking, he believes that he has the ability to become the best wide receiver in the NFL. Now, maybe that's a stretch, but one of, and clearly one that can be dominant for this team inside this offense. And I don't know if bringing Adams here helps that or not. I mean, obviously he's a great wide receiver, and in the all-in season that is the New York Jets, no doubt, you want as many great players as you can handle. I mean, you're still waiting for Redick to come back, but I think there are enough weapons there. If Mike Williams is healthy, I think he is a kind of guy who would help Garrett Wilson get open. They got a couple of they got the tight end who can help Garrett Wilson get open, and we've seen Garrett Wilson get open for lesser wide receivers with lesser options. I just think that connection is going to be so important between Rodgers and Garrett Wilson that I want that to be, I want him to be the best wide receiver on the team. I think that's important. And they got weapons with Hall and him. I think this offense has a chance to be really dynamic. I agree with Rodgers in almost everything he said. Other than he enjoyed riding a camel. I could never enjoy riding a camel. I'll be totally honest with you. That would be like, there are things I'd want to do. I would be open to going to see the pyramids and everything, but
I've rode a camel.
You've been on a camel?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Qatar.
Did you go for a soccer event or something?
Yeah, it was in the 2 years ago of the World Cup.
Right, you were at the World Cup.
Yeah. It was, because it was the way they did it is you rode on a camel, and it was a package.
Well, right? Usually when you ride on a camel, that's the first thing you do.
Yeah, but then there was just like a, you go in a car, and then they basically dune buggy
right
across the desert.
Yeah. Well, now that would be fun, but I have no interest in riding on a camel. I don't know.
It would not be my thing. 2 minutes.
Yeah. I'd rather be like, you know, the genie and Prince Ali riding on elephants. Right. Now that would be cool. You ride on an elephant? I'd ride on an elephant. Look at that. I love Aladdin so much. I was just watching it the other day. I'm trying to get my kids into
it. It's the best Disney movie.
By far.
Yes.
Aladdin is the best Disney movie by far. But I agree with everything Rodgers has said. Like the idea that they are one of the top 8 to 10 teams that legitimately have a chance for Super Bowl, I completely agree with. I think they are. I think he has the ability. I wish he would, you know, stop focusing on things that he shouldn't be focusing on. But I think now we've seen the season start, and at every turn, this guy has shown the ability and the want to be the guy for the New York Jets. I have no doubt that right now his only focus, I really don't. He only has one focus right now, and it's winning. He's shown other focuses in the offseason. He's shown other focuses while he's injured. But, I mean, and apparently in practice today, and not that practice matters, I just didn't make much of Daniel Jones' practice. I'm not going to make too much of Aaron Rodgers, but the ball doesn't hit the floor. And this guy knows this offense so well. I mean, and with the rest of this roster, listen, Haason Reddick is an issue. You want to get it's a headache. It's an issue. It's a problem. You need an edge rusher. You went out and traded for him. And now, especially considering all the misunderstandings that you You expected him to be willing to play on this year's contract. Now he's not. You expected him to show up. Now he's not. Even if he wanted to negotiate, which they won't until he shows up. So you're playing chicken with your edge rusher that you just brought in. But ultimately, I think the defense is still pretty good. And I think there are weapons, and I think this team is good enough. And I think Aaron Rodgers, the idea, I've killed him as much as anybody on certain topics and certain things. Like, you know, again, I think he was extremely hypocritical scolding the organization on distractions when he's out there creating them. No doubt. I think he gave you a word jumble the other day about absolute nonsense trying to justify or even further than that, blame the media, which is very much in his wheelhouse, of misrepresenting exactly what the two mandatory days were and made, you know, and kind of went against what his even coach said about whether it's mandatory or not. And he gave you a bunch of word jumble to try and make it seem like, well, it's just this, it's just that. Sometimes it's this, sometimes the scheduling comes out, but it's really just this. And there was 12 of them and I made 10 out of 12. Yeah, they were mandatory days. You missed them. Just own it. You went to Egypt. Then he shows up to practice wearing like an Egyptian cat t-shirt. Okay, you want to be like that? Fine. He's earned the right to do that with four MVPs. And the idea he is the freaking franchise. But now it's time to just go play. And I have no doubt that he will. I really have no doubt that he will. And as long as he plays, I've told you, the Jets need a winning season so freaking bad. And it's not just to give the fan, that's the number one reason. Number one reason is to win, give the fans a winning team. But this organization just needs to stop being a laughingstock who never gets the benefit of the doubt on anything. Ever. Ever. Every time a story comes out, everyone expects him to be hurt. Everyone expects the offensive line to have the new revamped offensive line guys to go down. And, you know, apparently they look good in practice, still waiting on Vera Tucker, who isn't ready to play just yet. The offensive line should be revamped and better as long as they can stay healthy. You got weapons. You got a defensive team that's one of the better ones in the NFL. But nobody believes in the head coach. Nobody believes Rodgers will stay healthy. Nobody believes the offensive line will stay healthy. Nobody believes the expectations will come to fruition. And a lot of it, and everyone, every time there's a story, it's LOL Jets. Oh, of course, Reddick doesn't want to sign. Oh, they're stupid. They were misled. How could you be misled? He wanted a contract from Philadelphia. How could you possibly take him at his word that he wouldn't hold out? Or how could you possibly think he wouldn't do this? Or how did you expect to not have to pay him? And all the different things. It's never on the player. It's always on the organization because they are losers. The New York Jets are the epitome of loser. They are the definition of it when it comes to sports losing. Nobody has lost more in the last 13 years without making the playoffs than the New York Jets. They're losers. They're butt fumble. Everything goes wrong. Nothing will go right. Losers. And so he's brought here not only to win, but to rise them above being the laughingstock of professional sports, not only the NFL. And until he does it, nobody will think he can do it. And until they do it, nobody will expect them to. And hopefully it's time it finally gets freaking done.